Isn't God awesome? Did he say that we have power over the devil right here? Did he say the devil has to be subject to us? Did he tell us first to repent? When we repent, are we forgiven? Oh, that's the most awesome thing about God. I don't care how mean or how wicked or what you've done. I don't care if you've been the murderous and rapist like Stephen was. When he said, Lord, I surrender. I ask you to forgive me. Now, he had murdered and raped all them women. I think he'd killed at least 20 known women. He was the number one rapist and murderer in America in the 80s. But yet, God forgave him and healed him and made him a new creature. But did he die for his sins? Oh, yeah. Did he go to heaven? Oh, yeah. Yeah. He didn't have to go to hell. Because the Lord spoke to him and said, if you don't do what my daughter's telling you, this is your last chance. I'm not going to tell you again. Either you accept me today as your Lord and Savior, or you're going to be condemned to hell. That should get anybody's attention, shouldn't it? But God is a God of love. He is a God of power. He's a God of authority. He's a God of long-suffering and patience. But he's a God of judgment. And he is a God that will make his people sick. You know, I can't quit today without reading out of the NLT, Job 33. That's I want you to see this, and I want you to see what happens to us in Job 33, 10 and on, what happens to us and how God tries to warn us so we are not sick. He hates it when we're sick and afflicted. So Job 33, 10, it sounds like God is picking a quarrel with me, and he considers me to be his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks and watches every move I make. Have you ever felt like that? Let's see what he says, verse 11, 12. In this you are not right, and I will show you why. As you yourself have said, God is greater than any person. So why are you bringing a charge against him? You say, he does not respond to people's complaints. Well, let's see what answers to that. For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. You know, just like we said a while ago, God's spoken to many of us in here, and we argued with him, didn't we? We later knew it was him. He was telling us to do something. You know, you have the Spirit of God living in you, and you start to do something, and you know it's wrong, and you hear this little voice in there, don't do that. And you go ahead and do it. Any of y'all ever been like me, and you've done that anyway? We've all done that, haven't we? When the Spirit is telling us, don't do it, and you go right ahead and do it anyway. And then you wonder why you get sick. Or some of you get upset with your mate, and your tongue, you lash against your children or your wife, and then the next morning, you can't talk. And you never put it together. Never understand what happened to you. It's amazing how these things work. But he said, he tells us again and again, though people do not recognize it. You know, God comes up to people in church, he says, you know, I ain't seen you in church in 2 months. Well, I've been busy. I've been out. It's summertime. I've been out on the lake in my boat fishing every Sunday. I ain't got time for church. I think you ought to come back to church. Now, who do you think that is that's talking to that man? God. That's absolutely right. Is he using me to do it? Yes, he'll use you to do it. And he may tell you, go over and tell that woman, you know, that she's not doing this or doing that. And we say, well, I don't want to offend that woman. I don't want to do that, God. Yeah, but we see, we don't listen, do we? We really don't listen. God speaks to us again and again, though people do not recognize it. Then he speaks in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in bed. Everybody has dreams. Somebody said, wow, I had a dream from the devil last night. That thing terrified the fool out of me. No, it wasn't from the devil. It was God. He was trying to get your attention, and you ain't listening. He's trying. Look what he says in the next verse. He whispers in their ear and terrifies them with his warnings. He does what? Terrifies you. Does that sound like a loving God? Yes. He's trying to save you. He whispers in your ear at night in those dreams, and he terrifies you with his warnings. He causes them to change their mind, to keep them from pride, to keep them from the grave. Because, see, he knows the way you're going. You're going to die. And he don't want you to die, does he? He's trying to warn you. He's terrifying you with his dreams to get you out of that pride so you won't die early. He keeps them from the grave, from crossing over the river of death. You think God gets fun out of us dying? No, he wants us to live out our life and do great things for the kingdom of God. That's what he wants. 19 and 20. Or God, in other words, if you don't listen, he talks to you and he gives you dreams and visions and you don't listen. Then look what he does. God disciplines people with sickness and pain, with ceaseless aching in their bones. They lose their appetite and do not care for even the most delicious food. 21 and 22. They waste away to skin and bones. They are at death's door. The angels of death wait for them. The hospitals are full of those today. And they don't know. There's nobody to tell them that it's sin that's causing the problem. Verse 23 and 24. But if. Now, anytime you see a but and an if together, you need to really pay attention. But if a special messenger from heaven is there to intercede for a person, to declare that he is upright. Now, the King James says there's only one in 1,000. Right there in that verse. The NLT doesn't say that. But the King James said there's only one intercessor in 1,000. Now, that's sad, isn't it? Only one of us in 1,000 can do this. But it ought to be all of us. To declare that he is upright, God will be gracious and say, set him free. Do not make him die, for I have found a ransom for his life. When you go into prayer with somebody in the hospital, they're comatose. You can't even find out what their sin is. How are you going to get them to repent of their sin? You ever thought about that? How in the world are you going to get somebody to repent of their sin? Did God say repent of their sin? So what do you do? With no repentance, there's no setting free from the curse. So there got to be a way to get that sin repented of. Let's go to John 20, 23 and let's see what it says. Let's just go over there. John 20, 23. And then we'll come back to verse 25 and 26. John 20, 23. Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted. And whoever sins you retain, they're retained. Do you have the power within you to forgive sin? Is that what that said? That's what it said, isn't it? Wow. Jesus has put within each one of us his Holy Spirit. Is Jesus living inside each one of us if we're born again Christians? Yes. So do we have power to forgive sin for those people? Did he have power to forgive sin when he was on the earth as a man? Yes. Did he tell us we have the same power? Did he say, whoever sins you remit, they're remitted? Is that what he said? That's kind of hard to swallow, isn't it? But is it written? Yeah, it's written. So you go up to a person that's not comatose, that they're able to talk. You need to tell them they need to repent of their sin. That's what you need to do. But what if they're comatose and they can't repent? Then you can stand in the gap for that person. You say, Lord, I remit their sins, all of them, known and unknown. Is that what it said, brother? So we believe God means what he says, right?
Yes, he does.
Okay. And so I've done it many times. I've taken somebody's comatose and they're dying, and I lay my hands on them and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I remit their sins in the name of Jesus. Because you live in me and your Holy Spirit lives in me. Now, the same Jesus that was here before that forgave people's sins, that same Jesus is in me. I'm his ambassador. He lives in here. His Holy Spirit lives in here. So I can do the same things he done. He told me I could. So, Lord, I remit that person's sins in the name of Jesus. And I want to thank you for being merciful and forgiving this person. Now I said, Lord, now then, I've got my hands on them, and I'm going to take Mark 16, 17, and 18. I'm going to command this devil to leave in the name of Jesus, and then I'm going to command them to be healed in Jesus' name. I said, Lord, thank you, it's done. And walk out and say, Lord, thank you, it's done. And many a time, you come back the next day or two, and the person's sitting up in the bed eating. There's no explanation for what happened here. Oh, yeah, there's an explanation. Somebody of faith showed up. And when somebody of faith shows up, guess who shows up with him? Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he does all these wonderful things for you. Isn't he awesome? Now then, since we've learned that, let's go back to Job 33. I think we're about 25 or 26 where we were there. And he says there, God will be gracious and say, set him free. Do not make him die, for I have found a ransom for his life. Verse 25 and 26. Then his body will become as healthy as a child's. Firm and youthful again. When he prays to God, he will be accepted. And God will receive him with joy and restore him to good standing. Now, is that an awesome promise? In other words, if you and I can be that messenger from heaven, and all we got to do is believe, walk holy before him to be that messenger. You can go in and get people's sins repented of and lay hands on them. And some of the greatest miracles I've ever seen, I've did them in such a short period of time. I mean, like, for instance, where this young man sitting here on the front row, I was down in Manny, Louisiana a few years ago, and there was a man by the name of Johnny Brumfield. I didn't know him, but he was sitting on the front row, and he had steel braces from the hips all the way to his ankles. They brought him in a wheelchair and set him right there because he had to sit on the front, and his legs were straight out. And after 2 hours of preaching, I walked over and I said, sir, what is wrong with you? He said, 21 months ago, a big tree, he said, fell across a tractor I was driving and crushed my legs. He said, it took them an hour and a half to cut me out from under that tree. They care flighted me to Shreveport, Louisiana, and I was in ICU 30 days. He said, they done surgery on both legs, put pins, screws, bolts, all kinds of stuff in my legs. But he said, that happened 21 months ago, and I have never walked a step since then, and the doctors say I won't never walk again. I said, but Jesus said in John 14, 13, and 14. Now, I want us to look at this promise under the new covenant. Look at what he said, and this is for you and me. Under the new covenant, when we walk in obedience to God's word, look at this promise of John 14, 13. You can ask for what? What did I say I can ask for? In my name, and I will do it, because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Is that an awesome statement from God? So I said, do you believe that, sir? He said, I'm a Southern Baptist. If it's written in that book, I believe it. I said, praise God for a believing Southern Baptist.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Best Benefit Package is Jesus, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.